been a real treat these past couple days to have Edwin Crozier with us this morning. For those who don't know him, he preaches at the church that meets at Livingston Avenue in Tampa. So if you're ever going that way, you can stop by and see him. He's been presenting to us pictures of grace, which are just kind of short stories with big meanings about how God has shown his grace on mankind. We have a booklet that has his outlines. If you do not have a booklet, would you please raise your hand? And some of the men in the back will be giving you that booklet. So you can raise your hand at this time. If you missed Friday or Saturday sessions, you can go to our website at psd.church. And we have them recorded there, the video as well as the audio, so you can watch the sermons at your leisure there. So with that, I give you Edwin.
I was healed in order to walk. I did not walk in order to be healed. That would be the lame man and what he would say to us in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. A man who had been lame, unable to walk. And along come Peter and John. And here's what happens in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. As I said the other night, I believe that almost all miracle stories, especially the healing stories, are salvation stories. They are stories of deliverance and stories of God's grace. And I think this is one of those accounts that demonstrates this very well, because Peter and John go on to preach, and as they're preaching, the Jews get upset and they come and they arrest Peter and John. And they bring them before the council, before the priests, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees, and the elders, they want to hear a defense. And if you look in chapter 4, we find something very interesting. Verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed..." So we're here today to talk about the means by which this man has been healed. Hang on to that. "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." If you want to know by what name this man has been healed, it is the name of Jesus Christ, because there is no other name under heaven by which anyone can be saved. You want to know what's really fascinating? We don't see it in our English translation, but in the original language that's being translated here, the word for healed in the one verse and the word for saved in the other, guess what? Exact same word. Exact same word. Because that's what salvation is. Salvation is healing. Salvation is healing. And as we see, and I'm sure there are exceptions, but in general, healing stories are salvation stories. And because of that, as we wrap up our time together, we want to look at this account of this healed man. Because in fact, he did not walk in order to be healed. He was healed in order to walk. And because of that, what he needed to learn how to do was walk like a healed Christian. He needed to walk like a healed man. And that's what I want us to see today. Would you bow with me in prayer before we unpack this? God and Father, you are magnificent and awesome. You are the wonderful God, the ruler of heaven and earth. You are the healer. You are the Savior. You are the deliverer. Merciful benefactor. And while you are the judge, we are so grateful that you are the righteous judge and the merciful judge. We are so thankful that in your judgment, you did not bring immediate judgment upon us, but in your mercy, you brought your son Jesus and poured out your judgment upon him. And by that, we are healed in his name, by his authority, by his action. We are healed. We pray, Father, that you will give us the strength to walk like healed Christians. We pray that we will rely upon you that we might walk like healed Christians. May we never turn our sight from you. And Father, if and when we do, draw us back. Place people in our lives that will point us to you and lead us to you. And may we encourage one another to walk like healed Christians. We love you, Father, but we thank you for loving us first. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Several things that I hope that we can learn parallel between this account of healing and our own salvation. Here's the very first thing that we need to recognize from this healing event. Didn't think it was going to show you. The goal of our healing, the goal of our salvation, is to walk. Think about this. What was the goal of healing this man in Acts chapter 3? Was the goal to get him home? No. The goal was not to get this man home. Now don't misunderstand. What do walking people do? Walking people go home. Walking people get home, but the goal of this miraculous healing was not to get him home. The goal of this miraculous healing was to get him walking. I think this is so important for us as we consider our own salvation by the grace of Jesus Christ. I think for most of us, and I think for most of the time that I've been a Christian, if somebody came up to me and asked, why did Jesus die on the cross for you? Why has he delivered you? Why has he saved you? I would say, so I could go to heaven. That's what I would say. Brothers and sisters, that's not why. I know that's shocking, but that's not why we have been healed. That is not why we have been saved. Now, do not misunderstand. Saved people go home. Saved people get to heaven. But that is not why Jesus has saved us. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Here it is. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Why have we been saved? Why have we been delivered? Because God has recreated us to walk in his good works. He has recreated us that we might be his own special people, set apart to proclaim the excellencies of his glory, to walk in the good works that he has set apart, that he has created. That is why he has saved us. He has saved us, he has healed us, in order that we may walk. Walking people do get home. But I need to understand the reason for the salvation. Allow me to explain why I think this is so important for us. Especially in the context of this idea of salvation by grace. I know what scares us when we start talking about grace. When we start talking about being saved by grace, we're afraid that people are going to hear something along the lines of, since I am saved by grace, it does not matter how I walk. That's what we're afraid of. And if I think that being saved by grace means getting to heaven, I can understand that fear. Because if all I think of as salvation is getting to heaven, then that opens up the door for, well, I'll walk however I want, but at the end, by His grace, I get taken to heaven. When I understand that salvation is not getting me to heaven, but healing me so that I can walk, I recognize that by definition, I cannot be saved by the grace of God walking however I want. Because by definition, being saved means being healed in order to walk. And walking people go to heaven. We have been saved. We have been healed in order to walk. We have not walked in order to be healed. And that's one of the things that causes us problems. We think that what will happen is if I walk well enough, in the end, I'll get saved. I am saved in order to walk. I know that causes a little bit of a problem, so let's back up and notice one more thing here. Let's recognize that this salvation, this healing, requires a faith-filled response. I am not saying, nor does the Bible suggest, that before time God has chosen who is going to be healed and they start walking. What we recognize in this fella is a faith-filled response. Look back to Acts chapter 3 and notice what happens. And I get that we have to read between the lines a little bit, but brothers and sisters, recognize what's happening here and put yourself in the shoes of this healed man before he was healed. From birth, he has been unable to walk. And so from the time he got to that point where he was supposed to be taking care of himself and working so that he could feed himself, he was unable to do that. And what they did was they brought him to the place that was highly trafficked so that he could beg for alms. He's been unable to walk. And for years, who knows how often he tried. He's been begging for money, and finally here comes these two fellas, and they're paying attention to him, and so he thinks that he's gonna get his meal for the day. And one of them looks at him and says, I ain't got no money, but I tell you what, in the name of Jesus, why don't you get up and walk? I want you to put yourself in that man's shoes. How do you respond? I got to tell you how I respond. Man, look, help me or don't help me, but if you're not going to help me, would you get out of the way because you're blocking the other people? But that's not what happens here. What happens here is Peter says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, and he stretches out his hand and he takes the fellow. It's not a deadlift. He doesn't get behind him and pick him up by underneath his shoulders and lift him up and get him to start. He reaches out his hand. Do you realize what that means this lame man is doing? He's taking Peter's hand. This most ridiculous thing that Peter could possibly say, I've never walked a day in my life, not one single step, but this man says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he sticks his hand out. And what does the lame man do? He takes his hand. And he lets Peter pull. Brothers and sisters, that is a response of faith. That is a faith-filled response. In fact, Peter himself, when the people begin to praise and honor Peter and John, his question or his statement to the folks in verse 12 is, why are you wondering at this as if we're the ones that have done this? In verse 16, this is Acts 3:16, His name, Jesus' name, by faith in His name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given this man the perfect health in the presence of you all. What does he say about that man? He said it's faith in Jesus' name that caused this man to walk. We see a faith-filled response. And that's exactly what our salvation requires. I understand that I can't walk on water, for those of you who are here for that lesson. I can't walk on water, but by the grace and power of Jesus, He will walk me on the water. But it took what? Getting out of the boat, a faith-filled response. I need a faith-filled response. And Jesus demonstrates to us what that faith-filled response is in Matthew 28, 18 and 19 through 20. He tells the apostles, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." In Mark, as it's recorded, chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he says, "Go into the world and make disciples. Go into the world, proclaim the gospel. He who believes and is baptized will be saved." In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the chapter before this, just days before this event, the Holy Spirit caused a ruckus and people came and listened to Peter and the apostles preaching. And how did Peter wind that up? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And again and again and again, what do we see? Salvation takes a faith-filled response. If I want the healing, I need to take possession. I need to take the hand that is being offered to me. It takes a faith-filled response. But even though it takes a faith-filled response, even though there is this condition that I must meet in order to have the healing that allows me to walk, I need to understand that the salvation or the healing came from God. It was not because this man reached up and took Peter's hand. That was not the powerful thing that healed him. What healed him? God healed this man. God's power accomplishes the healing. And that's the same thing that we need to understand for us. Does it require a faith-filled response? Must I believe? Must I believe enough to step out of the boat? Must I believe enough to get into the waters of baptism? Must I believe enough to confess my faith in Jesus Christ? Must I believe enough to turn away from my sin and say that I'm going to let Jesus be my king? Absolutely. I cannot be healed without that. But when I am healed, whose power accomplishes the healing? Look in Colossians chapter 2. When Paul wrote his letter to the Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 11, he says this: "In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead," who raised Jesus from the dead. When I'm baptized, when I pursue a faith-filled response, when I reach up and take the hand that is being proffered saying, "Rise up and walk," who's doing the heavy lifting there? Who's doing the work? Not me, the one getting baptized. God, the one who raises people from the dead. Think about this. Baptism itself, as it's performed, is a picture in and of itself of somebody doing something to me, not me doing something. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, even the way we baptize. It's go be baptized, not go just dunk under the water. It's go be baptized. Somebody takes me and plunges me under the water. It's a picture itself of something being done to me, not me doing something. And that picture demonstrates what's happening. It is the powerful working of God that saves me, not my wondrous ability at getting baptized. I mean, it just blows my mind that folks today have the idea that getting baptized is a work that we're trying to earn our salvation. Standing there and letting somebody dunk me under the water says something about how amazing and awesome I am? No. It doesn't say anything at all about that. I tell you what it says. It says, I have faith in God's power. I have faith in God's work. He's the one that does it. Must I be baptized? Absolutely I must. Who did the work that saved me? God, who raises people from the dead. He's the one that does the work. And my faith needs to be in His work in that baptism, not my work in that baptism. But now that I've been healed, what do I need to do? What did that man need to do? Think about this. We see it. What a wonderful thing it is. Can you imagine having been there when these kinds of miracles were being performed? And here's a lame man that we've seen every day. He's been begging us for money every day. We feel a little bit guilty because we're not able to give him some every day. Maybe it's been a while since we've given him some. And now, he's walking and leaping and praising God. What a wondrous thing that is. But then he goes home, because what do walking people do? They go home. And he wakes up the next morning and he realizes, oh, wait a minute. If I want to eat today, I have to go to work. Huh. I'm not sure I like that. I think I'd rather go back to the gate and just beg for some money. What does he need to do that day? I'll tell you what he needs to do. He needs to walk like he's been healed. He needs to walk like he's been healed. He has been healed in order to do what? He has been healed in order to walk. And so now that he is healed, what does he need to do? He needs to walk. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, we have been healed in order to walk when we're in Jesus Christ. So what do I need to do today? Look, I get it. It is easier for me to go back to living just in my sins and just doing whatever it is I want in the moment because that's what feels good. That is easier. But I've been healed so that I can walk. And what do I need to do today? I need to walk like I've been healed. In 1 John chapter 1. Beginning at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. Chapter 2 and verse 6. Oh, we'll back up to verse 4. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in Him. Whoever says he abides in Him ought to walk in the same way in which He walked. We have been healed. We need to walk like it. We got to get up. It's not always easy. Yes, it means work. But we've been healed. And I need to walk like I've been healed. And when I do, what do I need to do with that? I need to give God the glory when I walk. What did this man do when he went walking and leaping? He went walking and leaping and what? Praising God. Why did he go walking and leaping and praising God? Because he understood that every step was by the power of God. He understood that when he took that step, it wasn't because he was so good at walking, it was because God had empowered him to walk. He understood, I'm not walking on my own two legs, I'm walking on legs that God has given me. And he understood that he needed to praise God for that. But what about the next day? He'd been walking for a whole 24 hours now. Maybe he's walking because he's just gotten good at it. Or the next week. Man, I've been walking for 7 days now. I'm getting to be an expert. Or the next year. I've been walking for 12 months now. I'm pretty good at this walking thing. I've even started running. That's how good I am at it. Or maybe a decade later. What do you think he needed to do then, when he'd been walking for 10 years? At that point, when he got up and he woke up and he got out of bed and he took his first step, what did he need to do then? I'll tell you what he needed to do then. He needed to give God the glory, because it was by God's power that he was walking on that day as much as it was the first day. And for a fellow who had been lame from birth, he's going to remember, we hope and pray, and understand with every step he takes, every step I take is because of God. Walk and leap and praise God. Not walk and leap and say, hey God, did you see what I did for you? I remember a time in my life I was working with some different folks as we were working in accountability over various sins. And as we would talk about the different sins that we were dealing with, we would even count, all right, how long has it been? How long has it been? And there's some pros and cons to that. I'm not saying that's the way you should have to do it. That's just what we were doing. And I remember the day that it hit me. That whenever I would say, well, it's been a week, it's been a month, it's been a year, it's been 18 months, it's been 2 years, whenever I would say that, I remember the day that I realized that the problem I was having is that I would say, you know what, it's been a month. God, you notice what I did for you? And it hit me that what I needed to be saying is, God, it's been a month, it's been a year, it's been 2 years. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you, because I have been healed in order to walk. It's by the grace and power of God. And I'll just tell you, I've noticed for myself, you want to know when I fall the hardest? Are those moments when I think, look at what a great job I'm doing. I've done so well. When I hear somebody else talk about their struggle and I walk up to them and say, you know what? I used to struggle with that too. But now I've got it under control. I'm just telling you, every time, that's when I'm going to fall. It has happened every time. I'm healed in order to walk. And so I need to walk like a healed Christian. And when I walk, who gets the praise? God does. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. I need to walk like a healed Christian. But the problem is we've got a chapter break here. And because we've got a chapter break here, we forget what happened right before it. Do you notice what he said right before this? If you back up to verse 14 of chapter 3. For this reason, Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Therefore, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Therefore what? Because God, working as Father, Son, and Spirit, is able to enable and empower and strengthen. And He can do far more abundantly than I ask or think. How? By His power working in me. And because of that, I should walk. And so when I walk, who gets the glory? God. God does. But I need to think about this fella, and I need to ask, what would happen if on that next day he had decided to go back and lay at the beautiful gate and just beg for money and let people carry him around and not walk as he had been healed to do? What would happen if he decided, I don't like this walking gig, I think I am just going to lay down and do nothing? Well, you know what would happen. Muscles that don't get used, they die. And we call that atrophy. It's why if you've broken something, after the cast comes off, you have to go through physical therapy. Because that muscle hasn't been used. It's got to be now strengthened again. You realize that's what would happen with this fellow? If he had decided, I know I got healed yesterday, but I don't feel like working and I don't feel like walking. I'm just going to lay down and let people carry me around. He's going to get to a point where he is no longer able to walk. And that is exactly what will happen to us if we decide, I've been healed. I've been healed by Jesus, but I'm going to keep living the way I lived before. I'm not going to exercise these healed muscles. I'm not going to exercise this spiritual healing that He has given me. We'll atrophy and we'll lose it. That's what 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22 is all about. In 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 20, "For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its own vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire." How ridiculous it is! How ridiculous it is, a dog who throws up and then goes and eats it. Not only is that ridiculous, that's a little disgusting, isn't it? I mean, the young boys are laughing, the moms are going, it's disgusting. Here's the picture though. Here's the dog that has some food over here that he could eat, but he's so stupid, he doesn't even realize, look, this stuff I ate the first time made me sick then. What do I think is going to happen when I eat it now? I made me sick the first time. Why would I eat it again? That's how dumb a dog is. A pig went and got in the mire, wallowing in the mire, all dirty and filthy, and now he's been cleaned up. What is he not? He doesn't know any better. Just going to go wallow in the mire again? It made him dirty the first time. He had to get a bath after that. He goes and gets dirty again. He says, that is how silly and disgusting it is when we as Christians who have been healed by the blood of Jesus Christ delivered decide, I'm going to go back and live like that again. Why did we come to Jesus to begin with? Because we knew what awful things our sins were. We knew what awful things they had done to us. We knew the death that they had brought upon us and the sickness, and we didn't like it and we wanted to get out of it. And now, praise God, He has healed us and delivered us, and we're going to go back to that? What do we think it's going to do to us the second time? Don't atrophy. Exercise those muscles. Use them. Go walking and leaping and praising God. Walk like a healed Christian. But that leads us to this final thing. Do you think that fella, after being healed, ever stumbled and fell down? Let me ask you, anybody in here ever stumbled and fallen down? I bet almost every single one of us have done that. How long do you think it took before he stumbled and fell down for the first time? I mean, he's not used to walking. Just foot hits on a little something, boom, down he goes. Put yourself in his shoes. You spent your whole life unable to walk, thinking it was never going to happen. You had a miraculous day and you started walking. You could hardly believe it, but it was wonderful. And every day you wake up wondering, is it going to be gone? And you get out of bed and you can walk and you thank God. But then you stubbed your toe and you fell on your face. And you're down there with your face in the dirt. What's the first thing running through your mind? I knew it was too good to be true. I knew it was too good to be true. I knew I couldn't do this. Why did I even think I could do this? And that's exactly what Satan does. He does everything he can to get us to trip up, and then when we're down on the ground, he whispers in our ear, "See, I told you you couldn't do this. Why did you even bother trying? You know what you need to do? You just need to roll over, let someone come pick you up, take you back to the beautiful gate, and start begging again." But what did the man need to do? He stubbed his toe. He's fallen on his face. All these thoughts are running through his head. What does he need to remember? I have been healed by Jesus Christ. I need to get up and walk like it. Yes, I've fallen down. But that doesn't change the fact that I am a healed person. Please understand, there is a huge difference between the person who has stumbled and fallen and is lying on the ground right now and the person who's decided to go back to that and is atrophying. There's a huge difference. Have you stumbled? Have you fallen? I know what Satan's whispering in your ear. I know what you're thinking, but here's what you need to think. I am a healed Christian. I need to get back up and walk like a healed Christian. We've read Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 a couple of times this weekend. Let's look at it again. Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. What's He saying to us there? You need to work on it. Why? Because you've been healed by God. Because God is working on you. Because God is working in you. And when you stumble and fall, don't lie down there beating yourself up. Don't talk yourself out of getting back up. Get up and walk like the healed Christian that you are. Because that is how powerful our Savior Jesus Christ is. We have been healed in order to walk. So let's walk like healed Christians. How are you doing at that? If you'd like to, you can put your notes away now. Pull out a songbook. We're going to sing number 474. I believe that was, yes, Grace Greater Than Our Sins. Grace Greater Than Our Sins. Before I offer the invitation, if I could just say a few words, I want to take this opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for letting me be here with you this week. Thank you to the elders for inviting me to be back. It always makes me feel good. Gluttons for punishment is what I think, but I appreciate it. Glad to be back here with you. Thank you very much. Thank you for the kind attention that you've given and the patience with each of the lessons. Thank you for the kind words. For those who have taken me out or had me in your homes, thank you very much. It's just a wonderful blessing. It was great to spend time with the Heinleys again this weekend. And it's just a blessing to be in their home. And the fact that my wife and daughter were able to join me this weekend made it even all that more special. We had a good time. It was great to spend time eating with several of you last night at the little picnic at their house. If you missed out on that, it was a great thing. Thank you very much. We're going to be heading back home this afternoon, driving. So we'd love to ask you to pray for us this afternoon that we'll have some safety. I'll be praying for you guys and your work as a congregation here. And I look forward to the time when we all get to be around God's throne, walking and leaping and praising God together for all eternity. I'm looking forward to that. And I know that we can be there because, well, not because we're awesome, but because our God is awesome. Let's put our trust and faith in Him. He'll get us there. Let's just keep taking the steps. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it this week. As we wrap up, I do want to offer an invitation. I hope as you've been listening this morning, if you are not in Jesus Christ, what you have been longing for is to get healed. And here's where the illustrations break down. I know if you're not in Jesus Christ, you've been walking around. You probably think some things have been going well. Maybe you've got a job that makes some good money. Maybe your marriage is doing okay. Maybe you got great kids who've done wonderful things. And you think, you know what, it's really okay. Or maybe things haven't been going so well, and what you think is, well, there's no sense in me actually trying this Christianity thing because I don't think I can ever make it. Whatever the case is, you need healing. And Jesus is powerful enough to heal. Jesus is the one that heals. And He has grace that is greater than your sin. We'd like to extend that to you this morning. Would you like to enter Him? Would you like to be baptized for the remission of your sins? Turning your life over to Him, being immersed in the water, raised to walk in a new, healed life, walking and leaping and praising God, falling down sometimes, but getting back up because you've been healed? We want to help you with that. Won't you please come forward right now as we stand and sing this hymn?